We're in chapter 9 of 30 chapters. We're in the chapter today on stewardship. The first 10 chapters in the book are about core doctrines, core beliefs, that convictions that we hold dear. The next 10 that we're going to start in January are about spiritual practices that can help us engage our lives in a spiritual way to help us grow in our spiritual journey. And then the last 10 we'll do in the spring have to do with our character as followers of Christ. So that's the series we're in the middle of doing. In stewardship, let me start off by telling you a story about a dad and his little boy, Johnny. One day his dad wanted to spend a little time with his son, Johnny, and his name was Bill. And so he asked little Johnny, "What would you like to do?" He says, "I want to go out and eat. I want to go get food." His dad said, "Well, where do you want to go?" And he said, "McDonald's." So, yes, breakfast all day. So, they went to McDonald's. Dad says, "Well, what do you want to eat?" And he says, "French fries." Apparently, little Johnny loves the French fries at McDonald's. So his dad orders the French fries. But what his dad did is he supersized them. You ever supersized, right? You know, got the biggest ones they have. That's what I have in this little container here, this little sack from McDonald's. I went and bought some French fries. Now, I have to make a confession. Okay. I wanted to buy them this morning, but they don't serve French fries till 10:30. So I had to go yesterday. Have you ever had old French fries? Well, what I did is I bought two of them. And I ate one just to make sure they were good. And then I left this one. Now, after the second service, if you want to hang out and you want to try one of these, more power to you. So I bought the French fries and, of course, a meal and whatever for him. And they're sitting there at the table and they're having a good time. And Johnny, of course, loves French fries. And so he's having them first, as most kids would tend to do, whatever they love. And his dad reaches across the table to take a couple. And what does Johnny do? "Ha! These are mine!" Right? So his dad starts thinking about that. He starts thinking about what's going on in my little son's head for him to respond that way. Here's a couple thoughts. One, his son doesn't realize that his dad is the source of the French fries. His dad's the one that bought them for him. His dad's the one that provided them for him. And he's not thinking that. He's thinking they're mine. Other thought, his dad's a whole lot bigger than Johnny. He could, if he chose to, overpower little Johnny and just take him. Right? Here's another thought. His dad doesn't need the French fries. His dad just wanted to enjoy the experience with his son and just be part of it with him. Very willing to give him all the French fries and buy him a super-sized one. And he just wanted to engage in that experience with him. Well, when we talk about stewardship, this is a profound perspective. When we talk about being followers of God in stewardship, God takes us to McDonald's all the time. God provides French fries for us all the time. God blesses us all the time with so many things. And part of what God wants to do is engage with us in those blessings. And sometimes God will say to you and me, "I want to take some of the blessings I've given to you, and I want to use them for something else." And unfortunately, often we can say, "No, these are mine." And that really gets at a key issue of stewardship, our perspective and understanding of what stewardship is in our lives. And that's what we want to look at this morning, this idea of stewardship. Now, if you've read the chapter, you know the belief statement. I believe everything I am and everything I own belongs to God.
was thinking about that this week. It's really hard to get there. It's really hard for Charlie Rice to get to the place where he believes that everything I am and everything I own actually is not mine. It's God's. It's a tough challenge, I think, for most of us. But that's a clear statement in Scripture. Look what it says in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Another verse that I have in your outline there. Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11. For every wild animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. So everything is the Lord's. Anybody hearing this static? Yeah. We're working on it. The devil is in the tech. Nope. Thor, you're somewhere. Anyway. Ignore that. Talk about stewardship. The foundation for stewardship is the belief that God is the source of all that we have, and that we've received it all from Him. That's the foundation. He has the right as the Father, has the right to the fries. He has the right to provide for us and wants to provide for us, but also has the right to be the owner of all of it. So I'm going to look at three texts, and I'm going to have you turn to all three of them this morning, which is a little unusual for me to have you flip to that many texts, but we'll do that this morning. The first one I want you to look at is in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at the principle of stewardship. Luke chapter 12, Jesus, in the context of Luke chapter 12, he has been teaching his disciples to not get sidetracked by the worries and affairs of this life. Instead, in verse 33 and 34 of the chapter, he says, replace the pursuit of things in this life with the pursuit of treasure in heaven. And then he gives an explanation in Luke 34, verse 34, chapter 12. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. In other words, Jesus is teaching the simple principle that your heart's going to tend, your passions are going to tend to follow what you highly value. So make sure you highly value the things of heaven, the things of God, because that will pull your heart that way. That's a principle he's teaching there. Then in verse 35 and following, he talks about being ready in service as a follower of God. Being ready in service and being engaged in service of the Lord. Verse 40, he says, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you don't expect him. In other words, we don't know when Jesus is going to return. He could return an hour from now or 1,000 years from now. We don't know. Since we don't know, he says, be alert. Be on top of things. Be involved in doing what God has called you to do, because you don't know when he's going to show up. And then we get to verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. The Lord answered, well, verse 41, Peter answered, Lord, are you telling this parable to us? And this is what he says. The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. He just got done saying we don't know when the Lord's going to come, so be engaged, be alert. I tell you the truth, verse 44, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of the servant, that servant will come on a daily and does not expect it, right? Just like he said before, earlier verses. And at an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. He will punish him severely. So this is a simple story that Jesus gave you, an example of what it means to be alert, to be actively serving the Lord. He says, the good manager, you got a manager and you have a master. And I want you to notice that the manager is the one that oversees. That's what the word basically means, to oversee the household, to oversee the estate, to manage things. Some translations use the word steward. That's where we get the word stewardship from. NIV uses the word manager. The word stewardship or steward is a kind of an old English concept. How many of you have watched the show Downton Abbey? And some of you? Okay. Well, think of that show. Think of the estate. Think of the Crowleys and their servants. Kick it back a couple hundred years, and you've got King James' time frame of the translation of the Bible. Now, in that setting, there was a castle surrounded by a lot of open land, countryside, that was owned by one person, the owner of the castle. They not only owned the land, they owned the crops. They owned the crops, they owned the buildings, they owned the horses, they owned everything. It was theirs. And they had different people serving them, planting the crops, harvesting the crops, etc., etc. But it all was owned. But there was a steward that the owner would always assign to oversee the estate. And so in the old English King James context, that's the word they decided to use for manager. Not the owner, but the one that has been assigned the task of overseeing the things that the owner owns. And that's the idea here. Now, the problem we have with the word stewardship, at least in my observation, is that 99% of the time we think of money. But the Bible talks about stewardship in a much broader context than money. In fact, in chapter 19, I believe we're actually going to talk about money. But right now, we're not talking about money. We're talking about stewardship. And stewardship is much broader than money. As the verse says, everything on the earth is the Lord's. Everything is owned by him. And so that's the concept of stewardship. And what God wants to do and does do is bless us with many different things and gifts. And he wants us to use them as a steward to manage his way for his purposes. That's the principle I want you to see. Principle number one, Christians are called of God to use everything God has given them, their time, talents, and treasures, to fulfill God's desires. That's the first concept, or one of the concepts behind stewardship. Everything that you have is owned by God Almighty, the creator and sustainer of all of life. And what he is asking of us as his followers is to use it to fulfill his purposes and his desires and his goals. But there's a little bit bigger picture I've already alluded to. It's not just using the time, talents, and treasures, but it's an understanding that we don't own it ourselves. That it's not ours to decide how to use. We're just the manager or the overseer, if you will. This idea that I believe everything I am and everything I have belongs to God. That's the idea behind it. Psalm 24, as we already recited, says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it and the world and all who live in it. We're caretakers, as one translation could be. We're caretakers of what God has given us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, as it says in the Old Testament. He owns homes in 1,000 towns. He owns the bank accounts that you have, the cars that you have. But even more profoundly, he owns your physical body. The fact that I'm standing here and breathing is sheer grace of God. It is a gift from God that I'm breathing. It's a gift from God that your heart is beating. He owns it all. And so a steward has this kind of concept, this paradigm, this look at life that way. Everything that I have is the Lord's. Everything I am and everything I have. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. I want you to look at something that happens here. And if you've read the chapter, you'll pick up on this right away in Mark chapter 12. We have a little incident about taking the offering. In the Jewish culture, they didn't sit like this and pass an offering plate like we'll do in a little while. They had containers out in the temple court, and when you came to church, to the temple, they had these big vessels or containers you just drop your money in. Now, the money back then was coins. They didn't have dollar bills like we have. So it made noise. When you drop this into a bucket, it made noise. different kinds of noise indicated different kinds of gifts. Just like a silver dollar would make a different noise dropped into a bucket than a nickel would. Same idea. So let's look at the text. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and following, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. So he's just sitting there observing. Many rich people threw in large amounts. So how would you know that? Because instead of clink, it would go clink, 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 clink. You know, they threw in large amounts, and it had a different sound. And you could tell that was silver dollars versus nickels or pennies. And that was multiple silver dollars versus nickels or pennies, and that kind of thing. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. So in our culture with the cost of things, we could just say they were like pennies, and that would be appropriate. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth or their abundance. They gave out of their extra, if you will. But she, out of her poverty, put in what? Everything. All she had to live on. So what is Jesus teaching here about stewardship? First of all, think about this with me. Stewardship is not an issue of budgets. It's not an issue of capital campaigns. It's not an issue of your bank account. It's an issue of our belief. Stewardship fundamentally gets down deeper than just using your time and talent for God. It's about your belief in God and your perspective of God and your belief about yourself in relation to God and what he's called you to in your life. There's a what and a why to stewardship. The what is our resources, if you will, and the why is our motive behind it and our issue of faith and belief. And Jesus, the woman, did the what? Two pennies, two copper coins. But Jesus wasn't pointing out the what. He was pointing out what was going on inside her heart and soul. He was, can I use these terms? He was thrilled and amazed, if you will, by the fact that a woman in that condition in life was willing to give everything she had to God. Now, we can talk about rich people giving some money. And there was rich people in this story that gave money. But Jesus wasn't very impressed with that compared to this woman's heart condition. He understood her situation. And yet she came to the temple and she gave back to God. The principle I want you to see out of this is this. Principle number two. Stewardship means making everything you have available for God's use. It's not only using your time, talents, and treasures for God's desires, but it's making it available to God for him to use however he chooses to use it. That's the concept of stewardship. Stewardship is God owns it. He's asked me to oversee it. Okay, owner, what do you want me to do with it? That's the mindset. What do you want me to do with my car? What do you want me to do with my time? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with? Because you're the owner and I'm the caretaker, if you will. You've given me the privilege and you've blessed me with things and you've asked me to use it for your desires and your purposes. And so I make it available to you. This woman offered something far greater and deeper than actual coins. And you can see that in the story. That's what Jesus is pointing out. She offered so much more than coins. She offered everything she had. She, in a sense, she was saying to God, I trust you with my life. I trust you. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that you give just two pennies to God's cause. Don't try to match the widow. But I'm not suggesting to you that you give everything you have away either. But here is what I am saying. We're called to be fully devoted. We're called to demonstrate our trust We're called to, as stewards, to recognize who owns it, that we have the privilege of managing it, but it's His, and demonstrating that by our actions, both with our lives and with our resources. So, the second principle has to do with making it available to God. Let me ask you a question. Is your house available to God? Or your apartment? Is it available to God? How about your bank account? How about your car or your motorcycle? Is that available to God? If God were to step into your world and say, hey, I want to take your car and use it back, would you say, whoa, hold it, like the little boy with the fries? It's my car. Or is it available to God? Now, I got to be honest with you, when I was thinking about that this week, it's hard to figure out exactly how to do that and what that means. But that's where trust comes in. What I'm asking you and I to consider this morning is the basic concept of stewardship is to take, recognize everything that we have is actually owned by God, and therefore, before Him, open our hearts and say, it's yours. I recognize it's yours. I declare it's yours. If you want me to use anything I have in a certain way, I'm available to be used that way. I'm available to use it that way. That's what the widow was saying. I trust you with my things. So I'm giving this money back to you, God, to use however you want. I'm giving it to you. Now, there's one more step to stewardship that really is foundational and the starting point. And that's what I want to look at in Romans chapter 12. So turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 1 through 11 is an incredible thesis. It's an incredible teaching by Paul about numerous core things. But at its heart, Romans 1 through 11 is Paul making sure we grasp the truth that our righteousness comes by faith alone. Even with Abraham, it came by faith alone. That we can't earn it, that it's a gift of God, and it's a gift of God because of His grace, love, and mercy. That He gives us His Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's really, Paul is saying in Romans 1 through 11, it's really all about everything God has done and does do in our lives. And then Romans 12, what it says, because of all of that, let me teach you some things about how to live life. And it starts off with Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, I plead with you, in view of God's mercy, can I pull that out and say, in view of Romans 1 through 11, in view of everything that God has demonstrated us, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, and all that's involved in all of that, in view of that, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is called a worship service. It's called that for a reason, because we believe that worshiping God is one of the most wonderful privileges we have, one of the most important things that we can do. And we call this a worship service because we hope that every Sunday when you come here, you engage with others in worship. What does this say about worship? It's fascinating to me that this text says, if you want to get at the core of worship, it isn't about singing songs. It's about offering yourself. You come here on Sunday mornings with an attitude, I'm going to offer myself to God. I'm a steward, I'm a caretaker, I'm an overseer of every blessing God has given me, and I'm just reminding myself on Sunday mornings that He and He alone is my Lord, and I'm offering myself to Him. That's the idea behind this. But I want you to notice this text. It says a living sacrifice, which is kind of like an oxymoron, because a sacrifice is a living thing killed as a substitute for something else. So when a sacrifice is made, there's death involved. So this talks about a living sacrifice. Can I suggest to you how that happens? It's a sacrifice that's put on the altar.
that stays alive but is prepared to die at any time. Paul says, die to self, right? It's an ever-present awareness that we are offering ourselves to God every day. That's what a steward does every day. Not just our time, talent, treasure, but our very being. We offer ourselves to God as a sacrifice, and we live on the altar. God lives on the throne, and we live on the altar. That's really what Paul is saying here as an act of worship and declaration of allegiance. Here's the principle out of that. Stewardship begins by daily offering ourselves as living sacrifices. That's really the foundation of stewardship. Time, yes. Talents, yes. Treasures, yes. But first and foremost, self. It starts there, offering ourselves daily as a sacrifice for God. Lord, I'm your child. You have blessed me with life, and you're the sustainer of my life. You own me. 1 Corinthians says we've been bought with a price. You own me. I'm not my own. Paul says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You own me. So, Lord, I'm telling you today that I'm going to live on the altar, and I am willing to sacrifice for you. Just show me how to do that. Show me what you want me to do, how you want me to live, so that I can be the kind of steward that brings great honor and glory to you. God does not ask us to give up all our possessions, but he does ask us to give up our spirit of possessiveness. Remember little Johnny? These are mine. We struggle with this. God understands we struggle with this, but don't we struggle with this? He doesn't ask us to give up everything. He has blessed us with so much, whatever that is for us. But he does say, I need you to give up your spirit of possessiveness. I need you to acknowledge before me and yourself, this isn't mine. This car is not mine. This life is not mine. It's yours. And that's the attitude and the spirit of a steward. Let me just close with this. Then we'll have communion together. We are called to believe that everything I am and everything I have belongs to God. And that's a challenge for us. We're called to accept and to acknowledge the truth from Psalm, where it says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We're called to offer ourselves. We're called to not say, these fries are mine, but to be generous with the blessings God has given us. We're called as stewards to go to the owner and say, thank you for allowing me to serve you. We're called to ask the owner, everything that you've given to me to manage is yours. I want to make sure I manage it the way you want me to manage it. And there's a huge difference between God's value system and the world's. God's way of using things and people and the world's. And that's a challenge for us. So you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the reason I believe that the chapter 9 in stewardship is in the core doctrines is because it's foundational to how we walk through this life with God as our Savior and Lord. It is foundational to how we respond to life and react to life and do what we do in life if we believe this true statement. I believe everything I am and everything I have belongs to God. So I want to use it for his glory and his desires. I want to make it all available to him. And then I want to give him my life. I want to crawl on the altar and say, I'm yours. And that's a daily thing. That's a daily thing. Amen? Let's have a prayer and then we'll sing a song and prepare our hearts for communion together. Father, thank you for this truth. I genuinely pray that we don't treat this lightly, that we don't just walk away from today and walk into our lives and forget everything that we've heard. I ask that you help us because if we're your kids, we truly in our hearts and souls
want our lives to bring great glory to you. We truly want to be the kind of people that consider it an honor and a privilege to know you and serve you. We want to bring great joy to you as our dad. But we don't want to be like little Johnny who says, these are mine. We want to recognize these gifts from you and these blessings from you. We want to thank you and be generous with what you've given us. We don't want to walk through this life trying to get and accumulate everything we can for ourselves. We want to recognize, Lord, that you have called us to be your managers because you own it all. What a privilege that is. We just want to make sure we manage in a way that brings you great joy. We want to manage in the way that you've instructed us to. And that's a daily thing of living on that altar, alive, willing to sacrifice any time as you lead us and guide us. And so I pray for that for each one of us. This is a huge, huge challenge for us, and you know that, Father. A profound, profound truth. Everything that I am, everything I have, belongs to you. And we declare that this morning.